Welcome back to New Rock Star. Spider-Man No Way Home is coming this December, and right now the sky's the limit for whatever Dreamcasting fans want. Alfred Molina, Doc Ock, and Jamie Foxx Electro are returning somehow. Meanwhile, many are claiming Willem Dafoe could return as Norman Osborn Green Goblin. Have we learned nothing from our own Big Question episode warning about unconfirmed rumors posing as news? Well, don't jerk that knee too hard to that thumbnail, my friends, because this is Rogue Theory, the show where we pitch the wildest theories for the movies that we love.
Emphasis on theories.
We're in the theory land right now. As of this taping, Willem Dafoe as Norman Osborn coming back is still just a mere theory, but still something we hope happens, we want to happen, and something we're going to hypothesize about. So, oh, by the way, I'm Eric Voss. Going rogue with me today is a wonderful panel, including Mastertainment MT.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Good to have you back. Also, host of the Film Lostverse podcast, Eddie Villanueva. Welcome back, Eddie.
What up, guys? So good to be with y'all. So good to be with fellow nerds.
Hey. Hell yes. Also, streamer extraordinaire Angelica Trey.
Hey. Ooh, hi. Hey.
It's the entry.
It's good to be back.
Good to be back with you. And we're excited to welcome to New Rock Stars actor, artist, and creator of the thriller Spell, Barrick Hardley. Welcome, Barrick.
Yeah. What a pleasure to be here. I started as a fan, and now I'm on the thing. Oh my god.
You're on the thing.
I'm on the thing.
Welcome to the thing.
Welcome to YouTube.
Welcome to the thing. Welcome back to the thing. Guys, look at this panel. We got five of us hosting Rogue Theory today. I feel in great company. I can't wait to have you all weigh in on this topic, because
it's a party now.
Oh yeah, it is.
One extra nerd.
pull up a fifth chair to this table on the end, you know,
there,
because someone's
going
to get bumped by the server's elbow a few times in this conversation.
That's the great thing about the nerd table. There's always room for more.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, well said, Eddie. Well said.
Well, let's dive into this. Spider-Man No Way Home, of course, is confirmed to include past Spidey villains Doc Ock, Alfred Molina, and Electro, Jamie Foxx, with Molina confirming his character is going to be the same guy from that Sam Raimi Spider-Man 2 in 2004. And both of these villains appeared to die in those movies, and they were in different movie universes, so it's not really clear yet how this movie will resurrect them and cross them over. But we know Benedict Cumberbatch, Doctor Strange, will be in the film too, so many believe a multiverse crossover is the only logical answer. We have discussed this a lot on the channel, that this has kind of led to a speculation frenzy that everyone now, from Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield to Charlie Cox and Dane DeHaan, are also going to return. These are all unconfirmed as of this taping. Actually, most have been denied by the actors, and they're really being claimed with little to no actual evidence by Hungry Hungry Clickos. And the latest rumor is that Willem Dafoe is returning as Norman Osborn Green Goblin. And of all of these speculated statements of possibilities, that's the one I'm actually most excited for. Even more than Toby.
He killed it.
The
man
was crazy. But the issue, of course, is he's another dead Spidey villain, really most memorable for haunting James Franco's mirror. But we know at least Doc Ock and Electro will for sure be in this movie, suggesting that we're going to get some kind of team of villains. So my question for all of you is, who do you think is going to be the primary villain of Spider-Man No Way Home? And maybe we should start with just this question of, could Norman Osborn actually return? What would that look like?
That's a tough one. I mean, you look at Willem Dafoe, and mind you, as the enigmatic Green Goblin in the Tobey Maguire series, I mean, he was great. But, I mean, let's be honest, that's been over about 15, 16, 17 years ago. It's been a while. I don't know if Willem Dafoe is willing to put that back on his resume as coming back as the Green Goblin. That would be nice. But I want to put my money more in the arena of kind of continuing where the first one let off, where we see kind of a reemergence of the Vulture. Would be nice to see come back into the fray.
Okay.
Just because he's kind of been sitting in the background. He hasn't done anything. We didn't hear from him in the second film. I feel like having time worked with, obviously, Scorpion, and I'm pretty sure getting communicated with everything else going on in the world, there has to have been something that kind of clicked with him. I just really want to see Michael Keaton back. That's really it. That's the fullness.
That's fair.
We all want to see Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah. He killed it in Homecoming, and he's definitely coming back. I mean, that Morbius trailer definitely teased, like, hey, you know, we around here somewhere. We had a prison. You know what I'm saying?
We want the Keaton. Let's go.
Give us the Birdman.
Birdman.
Give me Batman.
And the Batman, yeah. Exactly. There's no coincidence with that. And the Vulture. Okay, so just going off of what Eddie said, I definitely think that would be really cool, because if it's potentially setting up Sinister Six type stuff, then that would be a neat addition. I definitely think they could have maybe some sort of extra secrets up their sleeves in terms of the villain. But for the sake of today's conversation, if they do bring in the Green Goblin, I think he would be more of a main villain. Of course, there's a lot going on with this film, because we've got Wanda here, who's got a hold of the Darkhold and is potentially messing around with all of these different universes. So Doctor Strange confirmed coming through and trying to maybe fix some of these universes with the multiverse. And where there's a multiverse, there's a Spider-Verse. So potentially we could be seeing all of these villains, but I definitely think if there is Green Goblin, he's going to be like the primary villain. And like going off of what Eddie said, maybe it could potentially bring in like Vulture and other villains too, and setting up for things like the Sinister Six.
That's a really good point. It really is. Especially with the makings already, we got 2/3 or about close to half of those people already established in some form or fashion in the MCU.
I mean, no coincidence.
I don't know if we're wanting Paul Giamatti back as the Rhino though.
Yeah, you know,
bring him back. Come
really
on.
I mean, like, he was a great, like, he's a great actor, but like, was he really the Rhino though? I want to see like the actual Rhino suit, comic accurate. Just like, give me a man in a Rhino suit, straight up.
There you
go. I'd like that.
There you go.
Yeah, but that's how I feel about most of the people from the first two movie series. Is like, I don't know which ones I'd want back if I'm going to be a jerk about it. Willem Dafoe, like, cool guy, great actor, like, but does that character belong in the MCU? Like, he's so big, and the MCU doesn't have a lot of villains just like screaming every line they have. For that matter, like, I don't want there's like one guy I want to come back in the whole thing. Like, I don't want Dennis Leary back. Like, that's a crazy energy for me. James Franco, no, I don't want James Franco back. Like, Martin Sheen, I dig Martin Sheen big time as Uncle Ben, but also I'm like streaming the West Wing again, so I'm pretty good with him.
I love West Wing, though. It's a great show.
I was just thinking, like, the guy I do want to come back, who I do hope is the main villain, I don't think it'll happen because he's dead. It's Randy the Macho Man Savage as Bonesaw McGraw. Like, the one Bonesaw character McGraw, I believe, yeah, like, needs to complete their arc.
Death doesn't matter.
Oh my God, death doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. All of those villains died. Like, they all died, but, and we're bringing them back
life,
somehow.
In real life, death doesn't matter either.
I was going to say, the only rule in comic books is nobody really dies except for Uncle Ben.
Yeah,
but you know, Randy Savage is dead in real life, so I don't know how. I mean, they could recast him, but like, it would be kind of weird.
No, they can bring him back. Yeah. They're gonna find a way.
They're gonna CGI Randy Savage.
They have to find a way.
Rogue One style. Okay. Spend millions of dollars.
I heard the character, and I just completely disregarded the actor involved. Okay, yeah, no, that's completely fair. Okay, maybe not, but going off of what you said, Beric, it's the Raimiverse is already established in this, if all of these leaks are true with these villains. So maybe we'll get some other Raimi goodness.
I mean, yeah, it's confirmed, but it's like, it's so hard to understand the logic of this. Even just saying multiverse, it doesn't answer the question enough for me. Is it portals? Is it like a rift from the upside down opens up in your wall and someone comes out covered in web goo and they're like, I'm from another reality and the hand of God grabbed me from my classroom?
Well, if it's
Doctor
Strange, why not portals? I mean, it doesn't explain. Here's my thing is it doesn't explain whether those characters are coming to, you know, Tom Holland's universe, the Tom Holland's Spidey universe, or if they're going through the other universes. But the suggestion of the name No Way Home implies that, you know, they're going to get lost, probably Tom Holland, Spidey, in these different universes and, like, has to find his way back somehow because Doctor Strange is going to go missing. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
I have a theory as to who the villain is and how it's all going to tie together.
Spill
it's
kind
of wild. So I think the villain of this movie is going to be Norman Osborn, Green Goblin. Well, in the future, not in this movie. I think it's going to be Kraven. But in the future, it's going to be Norman Osborn, Green Goblin. But here's why I think of it. Because if you look at the Spider-Man No Way Home teaser with the marker board, you can see Tony Stark's little arc reactor on there, as well as a cube indicating, like, it's the Tesseract. So I think that this new element that Tony Stark made in Iron Man 2 is based on Tesseract technology, which is the space stone, which creates wormholes. So where I'm going with this is this new element that Tony Stark created may play a factor in what in Norman Osborn's Spider-Verse-y type goals. And here's why I think so. Because Endgame introduced the concept of time travel. So now the MCU now has this weird time travel space race going on. Because once one person does something, everyone's going to want to do it. And so Norman Osborn of the MCU, who's like been sort of like, you know, being low key, being a politician, whatever, not politician, being like a rich guy. He's just like, all right, I want to capture that. I want to be the next Tony Stark. I want to, you know, do time travel. So he takes this wormhole technology. Well, he takes the science of the Tesseract that Tony Stark made the new element from, and he tries to create a wormhole through space and time. But he actually just creates a wormhole through the multiverse, and another version of Norman Osborn's like, listen up, buddy, I need you to know that Spider-Man's a problem, and I need you to take care of him because he always ruins everything throughout the multiverse. And so he's like, you know what, all right, let's do that. So I think that he's gonna assemble a Sinister Six through that technology. Wow, I talked a lot. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
I have a couple follow-ups, MT. So you're saying that, like, we're going to have a different Norman Osborn in the MCU who opens this gateway, and on the other end of that portal is Willem Dafoe? Okay, that's interesting, because that would establish the rules of, in different universes, different actors play that identity. So that's how you get Tobey Maguire.
I mean, we could have a double Willem Dafoe situation. We could have a Willem Dafoe in the MCU, and then another random Willem Dafoe Norman Osborn just being like, hey, look, I'm you from another universe, and sort of doing that. But, like, it could be another actor, it could be anything. But yeah, I think that Green Goblin is coming and is going to be the main force in the Sinister Six.
Yeah, I think the multiverse is most likely to be the answer, but I also think it's very possible that Sony may just take the route of these characters have just always existed in different forms in this universe, not meaning that there were other Spider-Men before the Tom Holland Spider-Man, but like the fact that they had J.K. Simmons playing J. Jonah Jameson. I think when it comes to the villains, I think Sony's just like, no, the logic of them being in different universes played by those actors, no one really cares about that other than a couple nerds on the internet. And if they didn't care that much at J.K. Simmons playing like an altered version of this character, even though he's the same actor, they're not going to care if it's, Willem Dafoe or Alfred Molina or Jamie Foxx playing this villain now. Mm. But I think once this movie comes out, everyone's going to be like, the are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. We saw that guy fight Tobey Maguire. We saw that guy fight Andrew Garfield. How does that make any sense now?
Look, guys, I think the bottom line is we all know who the main villain is. It's Bono for Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, the musical. That's who it is. He's going to come in and just rewrite the whole history.
I thought you were going to say the landlord from the Raimi movies.
That's the cross. There needs to be a crossover from that universe. Like, I think Swiss Miss ought to drop in into the new movie.
That musical taught us all that a freak like me needs company. And that's where we're all now. A bunch of freaks with company. And look at us, stronger than ever. One member short of a Sinister Six.
Yeah. If they want to get real wacky with it, can they potentially do like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man as being kind of evil? Like a switch? Switch up in there,
switch kind of thing,
like an emo Peter Parker.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you need a switch because, like, if we do drop two old Spider-Mans into this movie, isn't it gonna feel like I just saw this and it was better in the one where one was a talking pig and one who beat up Nazis. Like, that's far more interesting than going to a Spider-Man movie. Like, I've seen that so well done. And then just to see Andrew Garfield drop in and, like, nod the camera doesn't seem all that fun to me, unless there's a spin where, like, oh, they are villains now, or play some, like, super essential plot.
Yeah. I just want to see more Toby. I want to see him cry and hold pizza.
It's been a long time since I've seen Toby Maguire hold pizza, so it's he's overdue.
Pizza time.
There you go.
It is pizza time.
I think one villain that we're overlooking, if the Charlie Cox rumors are true, I mean, if you could get D'Onofrio Kingpin in there, that would be awesome. I love him. Like, get him in the MCU. Like, he'd be freaking great. And then you could justify some of those crossovers, though, I don't know. I think the Charlie Cox rumors are even harder to buy than the Toby and Andrew ones are.
Yeah. Well, so if they were to bring in Kingpin...
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And, you know, like the Daredevil type storyline and that whole universe involved, then I feel like my perception of this movie and its narrative would completely change. And I don't know how Doctor Strange would tie in the first place, because now what I imagine is this is a little bit more of like a local movie, which I don't know if it would make sense with the title, like No Way Home. I'm still trying to figure out how to tie this in, but it would be more of a local one, because I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, a Tom Holland college years, like he's going and he works at the Bugle and he gets to meet Gwen and like Harry and all of that. And then you have that localized crime, but I don't know. I feel like they're setting up for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. I feel like it's just going to get real zany with it.
It's hard to know because, like, yeah, this is a joint production between Sony and Marvel, right? But it's ultimately Sony. They're the one putting up most of the bill for it. They call the shots. It's mostly a Sony production that Marvel can kind of veto certain things on. And I don't know if Marvel is going to trust Sony to handle all of their huge multiverse crossovers in their universe. And if you look at the way Homecoming and Far From Home played out, there were some big world building moments, but most of those stories seemed pretty confined to Peter Parker. Yeah, there was a Skrull moment in the end of Far From Home, right? And yeah, there was Iron Man in Homecoming, but like, they don't like set up the broader implications of the universe the way Infinity War or even Guardians of the Galaxy does. So it's like, I think Kevin Feige wants total control over these things before he makes any big moves. Yeah. So I could see Sony wanting to bridge back to its past Sony versus the way they're doing with Molina and with Fox. But like, I don't know if they're going to bridge too much into like laying out the table for everything Marvel Studios wants and dreams of.
And that's if to say that they're actually going to use those particular villains as villains. Per se, I mean, because the mindset could also be that they may not be coming into the path of Peter Parker, Tom Holland, Peter Parker, as an opposition, but more as kind of like one of the stops along the way as they're going through these multiple dimensions. Because thinking about it, a lot of these people that they've mentioned so far, like Alfred Molina, Jamie Foxx's Electro, a lot of these villains have a very unique heart turn in their films, and possibly, what if the opportunity here is that right before that heart turn kind of happens in those films, they make kind of an instance, you know, take for disbelief that Peter Parker makes a stop somewhere in that universe, and it says something or does something that kind of helps that heel turn, if you will, to become better, which makes the ending happen as it happens in the films. You know, maybe even like an understanding from Alfred Molina, or, you know, something with Jamie Foxx's Electro, who knows, but something along those lines where it's not so much they're there as opposition against the Tom Holland Peter Parker, but they're probably in the midst of what's going on currently with their own Peter Parker, and that's just kind of a stop along the way.
I love that.
I like that explanation a lot, Eddie. That makes and that's kind of what I want these crossovers to be, are limited. You know, I want this ultimately to be Peter Parker's story. And I do want to see these cameos and crossovers just to kind of like blow our minds. But I want it in small doses. You know, we don't need them to play active major roles in all three acts of the movie. You know,
exactly. So who's the main villain?
So the main villain, right? That's the question.
We are the fans.
We are. I went into this wanting it to be a Green Goblin, and I still kind of do because I love Willem Dafoe, and the guy can play insane camp better than anybody, and he feels like the only one who can like make this make sense.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to award one of you a point, and I think I got to give the point to Angelica, because I think Tobey Maguire, whatever version of Peter Parker he's playing, or if it's Uncle Ben, or whatever character he plays, I think would be a really cool villain to this
movie. Yes! Tobey! Well, bring Toby back.
Point. It would give everyone kind of what they want, you know. Yeah. It would give us a chance to see Toby again in a movie like this, and give him a chance to like sneak in little winks, like have him say, "I'm gonna put some dirt in your eye" or whatever it is. That'd be great.
Do like a, you know, a little like dancey walk down the sidewalk.
Yeah. Oh my god! Wow. If all three of them did a dance in a movie, that would be amazing.
Yes.
Internet GIF material, honestly.
Yep.
All right, we're going to move on. Quick shout out to our merch, which you can find at newrockstarsmerch.com. We got a whole bunch of great t-shirt designs and hoodies, water bottles, all stuff you need to do authentic New Rockstars cosplay. You can find it all over at newrockstarsmerch.com. We want to thank some friends who helped us make this episode, starting with our friends at Bespoke Post. So this spring, as you get back outdoors to explore, take Bespoke Post on all of your adventures with a new lineup of essential Box of Awesome collections for guys guaranteed to upgrade your life. They've got a box with fancy handmade sunglasses, leather carrying case, and microfiber cloth. They have another box with everything you need to build an herb garden. Minty. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear. Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. And to get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box only costs $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code ROGUE at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code ROGUE for 20% off your first box. We also want to thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode. So our friends at Blue Chew have a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no doctor's office or pharmacy trips. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. You sign up at bluechew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. Their licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength. And if you hate swallowing pills, good news, Blue Chew is chewable, just like it says in the name. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And we got a special deal for our audience. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code ROGUE at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code ROGUE, to receive your first month for free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode. Rogue Theory is also sponsored by BetterHelp. Many of us have gone through periods where something was interfering with our happiness and preventing us from achieving our goals. In times like that, BetterHelp is there. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours, but it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online, available worldwide. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. And you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room before an appointment. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit betterhelp.com/rogue. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health. with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer for Rogue Theory audience. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/rogue. All right, let's move on to our second topic, Quantumania, a word we've been hearing a lot since December 2020, and I'm obsessed with it. It's going to be the title of Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, the third movie of that franchise. It's going to be coming the year after next, right? And director Peyton Reed announced that they've begun production this week with this tweet confirming that they're using the volume. That's that 360-degree LED screen backdrop that they use in The Mandalorian. It's like super vivid backdrop technology, and they can create any setting they want, even fantastical ones. But the word Quantumania, what the hell does that mean? Obviously, it seems connected with the quantum realm, which is where so much of the second movie explored. Actually, in Tuesday's video, I theorized that maybe Quantumania could be the name of that quantum realm city that was hidden in the background of the second movie. That could be what Quantumania is. But I'm curious from you, folks. What do you think Quantumania means?
I think that it's probably just an indicator that they're just going to go on a crazy quantum adventure like throughout time. And like, you know, maybe elements from different time periods will pop up in like, you know, in the modern times, or like, you know, just things are just going awry. And like maybe Scott and the gang have to figure out what's going on. But I also had a weird theory today that like maybe like Quantumania, the word Quantumania, is, you know, in response to Ant-Man's attempts to rename himself. Because, like, you know, in the Ant-Man films and in Endgame, he's basically been in the quantum realm. So I feel like he wants to call himself Quantum Man instead of Ant-Man. So, like, you know, Quantum Man together is Quantumania. So,
oh, like, maybe. Okay.
Like, I wouldn't want to be called Ant-Man realistically because it doesn't sound cool.
True. True. Very true. I think what we're going to get is we're going to get kind of a slight, if you will, kind of upset and jealous Hank Pym, if you will. Seeing as you had Bruce Banner and all them try to work with the quantum realm and everything with Endgame, trying to figure it out, and him kind of saying like, "No, you don't know anything about it. Let me take that, and I'm gonna fix it." And him and Janet kind of work towards figuring out a more sleeker way of traveling the quantum realm, which kind of jumpstarts the whole Ant-Man and possibly him and Hope Van Dyne going through the quantum realm together and kind of traveling a little bit more in a sleeker, more efficient style, if you will. And I believe visiting that quantum city that was kind of through one of the films.
All right, I'm going to take a stab at this, and it's going to be wrong, but I think I have a good theory that'll lead me to be wrong. Okay, so when Doctor Strange and Infinity War, what's the number? He said, like, I went to 14 million other universes, there was only one that Thanos didn't win, which means then all those other universes, Thanos killed everybody and they like stayed dead, right? Or snapped away.
Sure, yeah.
Right. Which means that like, in their future, they're going to have lots of resources because Thanos's plan worked. But in our universe, because Thanos didn't win, like we're continuing to use all our resources at a rapid pace, which means in the future, there's not going to be any. And I think like somebody from the deep future can look around at all the other universes and figure out like, we need to make that happen on our Earth or else there's no future for mankind. So I think like the movie could be like Kang the Conqueror coming back and trying to finish Thanos's job. Here's where it gets really good and wrong is that I think then he sends Doctor Strange like into all the other universes and makes him fight all the other universes and wrestle them in a bit like WrestleMania.
What? Wrestling?
Yeah. Do you see how you like how I landed that theory?
I did not see that coming.
That would be nuts.
It's a little Royal Rumble, crazy. But
yeah, okay. Hell yeah, WrestleMania. Idea. Okay, so this theory's a little wacky as well.
Hey, get wacky, Angelica. Get wacky.
Wacky. Okay, I'm getting crazy. All right. So earlier, I know the Ant-Man production supposedly had a casting call for like a young girl who, like, they wanted her to sing and dance, right? And I think she was supposed to be. They set it up like she was going to be maybe a more major character or important character. So I'm thinking What if this is a way to tie in X-Men? I've been trying to bring the X-Men in with my theories for so long. One of them's got to strike gold. So, one of them has to. I'm going to keep throwing them out until it happens. But what if it is a reference to in history with like musical idols? Like Listomania, Beatlemania, right? What if this is Quantumania tying in the quantum realm, but also that concept, and this is actually going to be the Dazzler?
What?
Or just Dazzler, yeah. Who was previously like a disco idol, but maybe she'll be a different iteration, like a pop star or something.
I love that. Quite the rogue theory.
Let's go.
You know, let me help you tie in the X-Men, because like this is a thing about time travel. What about Cable? You know, Cable's whole deal is time travel.
Yeah.
So like, you know, maybe we might see Cable at some point during these, you know, time travel shenanigans, either in Loki or in Ant-Man 3.
That's fair. I feel like Dazzler would tie in so well because of the comedic flavor that they have to so many of the Ant-Man movies. I just want to see it happen.
I think
now.
At this point, we're all owed a Dazzler cameo.
Oh, hell yeah.
In this movie. But the point I'm going to award will go to Beric, because I think a WrestleMania, if I hear Mania, I picture a brawl, a huge crossover with a bunch of warriors, and that's the one I want.
It's a beautiful, beautiful dream, isn't it?
Yes, it
beautiful.
Is.
Doctor Strange comes down with the power elbow.
All right. It's still, I think, anyone's game, because we got a couple rogue questions we're going to go into here. First off, this news that the writers for the Loki series have cited Teletubbies as an inspiration for the show. So I want to know what other show for babies might have inspired some other Marvel Studios movie or show.
I mean, everybody knows that Blue's Clues inspired Jessica Jones, so we don't need to say that.
There are some parallels there.
Bert and Ernie had real Falcon and Winter Soldier vibes to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, are we going to talk Little Bear inspired Luke Cage? I mean, just saying.
Dude, I freaking loved Little Bear growing up, man. That was a great show. Nice classical music.
The only thing I can think of is Muppet Babies, and that in no way applies to anything. I can't think of another
show. I'm trying to think
of
baby shows. Yeah, baby shows right now, because I know Blue's Clues. Teletubby freaked me out because they had that baby son. Mm-hmm. The baby son scared the crap out of me. So I thought we were going to say like Loki was going to have a baby son or something for a second there. I was getting worried.
I mean, Thomas the Tank Engine showed up in Ant-Man, so there's a great parallel there. So.
Yeah, what about like, can we count a little bit of an older show like Magic School Bus, but with Ant-Man, kind of? Like, they shrink that Ant-Man bus down.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's there. I see that.
I mean, you know, WandaVision was inspired by Reading Rainbow with the Darkhold, which is great.
True. Very true. LeVar Burton is satanic. We got it. Cool.
Yep. Yes. No, he's the secret villain. You know?
I think Sid and Marty Krofft is a real like Guardians of the Galaxy kind of like vibe. The flashy colors and the weird characters.
Yeah, I see that too. I think all of these, if you just keep reaching a bit further back, you can find baby shows in all of these things because they inspired us. But I'm going to give the point to Blue's Clues, to Jessica Jones and T, because I think that's...
Thank you. I'm just reciting history, man. I'm just telling you the facts. You know, I read it on Wikipedia, which means it's true.
It's true.
There you go.
All right, we have another question here. An upcoming Discovery show called Otter Dynasty is being described in marketing materials as Game of Thrones with otters. So what is the most Game of Thrones thing an otter could do?
Toss a small child out the window.
It'd be a strong otter.
I was going to say.
Like, I don't know, maybe like ride a whale. Do otters do that? Maybe ride a whale like a dragon?
The cool otters do.
Yeah.
The cool ones, anyway.
They could set up a big wedding with the beavers down the creek and then and kill them all at the reception.
Oh, my God. That's right. So graphic. The red wedding. I'll never forget that.
Oh, my God. Oh, like a parallel between polar bears and the White Walkers or something?
Sure,
like the polar bears come and try to try to eat them?
Stories that'd about be polar crazy. Bears.
Okay.
It's very jarring to switch from Marvel to Game of Thrones so quickly to go like, oh, do I make an incest joke at this point? Like,
I think you do.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, every time you talk about Game of Thrones, the incest joke is there.
Right.
It's a cornerstone of that program, apparently.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to give the point to Barrick for Otter versus Beaver Red Wedding. I think it's right there, and I need to see it happen.
Oh, my God. The weddings in Game of Thrones, epic.
You can't trust it.
Amazing. Oh. Like,
your life has changed
weddings.
After those. You're slightly traumatized.
Well, I think if my math is correct, that makes Barrick our winner of this episode.
The new guy.
Barrick.
What do I get?
Nice.
Well done, Barrick. Thank you for coming on the show, along with all of our guests, MT, Eddie, and Angelica. Follow all of them on their social media. Support their projects. I have four very talented people in front of me who are working on great stuff.
Yes, and follow Eric on social media as well. He's great.
No, don't follow
at
me.
EA Boss, everybody.
I'll probably be in a bad mood if you try to tweet me. I tend to be. I need to just unplug from Twitter, I think, right now. But hey, follow if you want. Hey, support this channel by checking out one of our many great merch options at newrockstarsmerch.com. Follow New Rockstars on social media. Subscribe here on YouTube, and we will see you next time. Goodbye, everybody.
Take it easy, guys. Love you guys.